All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll pick up where we left off last week. And last week we were discussing several things about the devil and the kingdom that he runs, and I have one more little thing that I want to give you that I didn't have time to finish the last time about the battle, the wrestling match that we are constantly engaged in with the devil. And I told you last week that first and foremost, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's what we are told here in verse 12. He said, put on the whole armor of God in verse 11, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's what we were looking at for the last two Wednesday nights. And I have one more thing I need to say about this, and then we're going to move on in verse 12. So let's read the rest of verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll dig right in here. Let's pray. Now, our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God, and thank you for the power that is in this book. And I pray that you will bless us. We look at several things tonight that will help us in this raging battle that we constantly fight against the devil and against the wiles of the devil. And Father, I pray that you will help me as I speak and help our folks as they listen. And Father, may the Word of God encourage us and strengthen us and give us some ammunition that we can use. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are looking at the Christian armor. And we're looking at the fact that the Apostle Paul starts discussing this in verse 10. And we've looked at verse 10 thoroughly. We've looked at verse 11 thoroughly. And now we are looking at verse 12. Now, I said to you, in the last lesson that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, man is not your enemy. There is not a human being on the planet who is your enemy. Not one. All right, understand that. You say, well, you don't know what so-and-so said about me. It doesn't matter. They're not your enemy. They would have never said that had not the devil been prodding them to do it. All right? So you just got to realize who is the instigator of all this evil. And it is Satan. It is the devil himself. And so we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But I want you to notice here for just a few minutes. I'm not going to labor on this. But I want you to notice the second thing about this wrestling match that we're constantly in. And that is number two. I don't know how it fits into your notes, but it's number two in mine. It says that we wrestle against this powerful structure of which the devil, Satan, is the head and its leader. All right, so that's what we glean from the rest of this verse, lumping all these together, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle against one another, or we shouldn't be, all right? Sadly, much wrestling goes on between individuals. I have had through the years experiences with folks that got upset with one another in church, and then dividing lines were drawn, and one group sat over on that side and the other group sat over on that side, and never did the twain meet. All right. I was preaching years ago down in Gastonia, North Carolina, and I had no idea what was going on in that church. No idea at all. But yet the Lord led, and when I got peace about the message that I was to preach, I was the second speaker that night. It was the closing night, Friday night of a revival, and I was to close it out, and I was going through the sermons that I had in this notebook that I brought with me to church, trying to find something that I could preach, and I got to this one sermon, and when I looked down at that one sermon, I basically just thought, well, I won't need that one, and so I just went ahead and flipped it. So I went all the way through the end of that book, and then no peace. So I came back and started over, and when I got to that sermon again, I stopped, and it was just almost like there was a flashing neon sign with an arrow pointing right down to it, you know. This is the message. And I had not preached that message except for one time in my church. And so I said, all right. So I got up and I preached that message. And in the message, I didn't plan on doing this. It was not in the message, but I gave like an illustration where two ladies would get into it in the church kitchen. Yeah. And I just happened to throw in there for a funeral, while they were cooking for a funeral service. Had no idea, no idea. And all of a sudden, you know, there was all these amens and all that, and then it got deathly quiet. And I thought, oh my goodness. And so I knew, I mean, nobody told me anything. So I just went with the flow. I just kept going. And I painted pretty much the entire scene that had been going on for about 15 years between these two ladies. And I found out that after the service, one was sitting all the way in the back on that side of the church, and the other was sitting on the back row and her clan back on this side of the church. And so I don't know, the Lord just took over. It was amazing. And I looked down at the pastor of the church, and he's bawling. He's just bawling. I mean, tears flowing down his face. And I look over around and at some of the other people in the church, and I knew some of them to be the deacons in the church, and they're bawling their eyes out. And I just kept going and went through this whole scenario how much fellowship has been lost and how it must totally displease the Lord. You know, he looks down and wants us to love one another. That's what he told us to do. And then we get to the place where we can't stand one another, you know, and then we wonder why God doesn't bless. And so I just went on and on and on. And I gave the invitation, and I'm standing up there. I said, everybody, stand to your feet. And so they did. And I said, now heads bowed and eyes closed. And I said, now if God's speaking to your heart tonight, you need to get up here at this altar and make things right. Well, that gal over there turned and looked at this gal over here, and she turned and looked at that gal over there, and then both of them were on the aisle, and they stepped out and went out into the foyer at the same time and came through the doors, the center doors, and walked down to the front, arm in arm, bawling their eyes out. It was amazing. And the two of them fell at the altar right in front of the pulpit, and then their husbands, when they came to, all right, they stepped out and came, and then the pastor came, and then the pastor's wife, and then the assistant pastor and his wife, and then all the deacons, and then here comes all the kids of these two ladies, and they all met at the front. The piano stopped, and the piano player was a good friend with one of them. I don't remember which one. She came over and knelt down beside of the other lady, put her arm around her, and they all hugged and slobbered all over one another. And the invitation went on for about 45 minutes. And the pastor, about a month after that, told me that their church was experiencing true, genuine revival, because these two ladies got their issue ironed out. Now, it could be two men. It could be family against family. Who knows? But the truth of the matter is, we wrestle against a powerful structure of which the devil is the head and the leader of that structure. And we need to understand who we're doing battle with. You see, Satan is the leader of this evil kingdom of principalities and powers. And of course, he has this well-organized, gigantic, massive, and powerful evil empire who are all under his leadership. After that service was over, one of the ladies walked over to me. I was standing at the door with the pastor, and she walked up to me, and then the other one came up right alongside of her, and they both stood there with their hands on their hips looking at me. And I thought, I'm dog meat now. I'm dead right here. This is it. And then one of them smiled and said, "How'd you know? Did he tell you?" The pastor said, "I never said a word." I said, "No, ma'am, pastor didn't tell me anything." "Well, how'd you know?" I said, "I didn't know." "Well, somebody had to tell you something." I said, "Well, the only person that I can figure told me anything was the Holy Spirit of God. Because I did not come in here prepared to preach a message like you just heard." And I'm telling you, folks, God knows what we need, doesn't he? And so many times when we get into it ourselves, we are hindering the work of the Lord. And that's why God wants us to love one another. All right? You say, "Well, he's not very lovable." That's beside the point. We're to love one another. I said that one night, and a fellow came up after the service, and he said, "You don't know my wife, do you?" I said, "No, I guess I don't." "Well, she's not exactly the most lovable person in the world." And I said, "Well, you need to tell her that you're going to get on your knees and you're going to pray and start praying for God to give you a loving heart. And if she looks at you and says, well, how about you? Then you just agree, yeah, we both need a loving heart. Now, folks, where does love come from? Yes. 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So if you want to have a loving heart, ask the Lord to give you a loving heart. That's where love comes from. That's where it comes from. Now you can mark it down. The devil, who is the head and the leader of this powerful structure of principalities and powers and all the rest of it, you can be assured this devil knows his work well. He never sleeps, never goes on vacation, never takes a sick day, never ever takes time off, and you can be sure that he keeps a close rein on this world that he oversees. He keeps tabs on it every waking moment. Now, folks, understand this. Even the Lord Jesus recognized the devil's kingdom is a real thing. It's a real kingdom. Hold your place here. Go back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. And let me show you what the Lord Jesus had to say about this kingdom, all right? Matthew chapter 12. All right, look down at verse 22. Matthew 12, 22. The Bible here says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a what? With a devil. All right, now watch. One possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb spake and saw. And all the people were what? Amazed. I guess they would be. I would be. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, in other words, the people were saying, is not this the Messiah, the son of David? You see, the Messiah would come from the seed of David, who was the king back all those years ago. And so the people saw Jesus heal this person, and they said, wow, this is unbelievable. I mean, is not this? This has to be the Messiah. This has to be the Messiah. You see what he said, what they're saying? But now look at verse 24. But when the, there they are. When the demons, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, watch this now, this fella, speaking of Christ, doth not cast out devils, but or except by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, in other words, Satan. All right? This is Satan. And the Pharisees said, this is not your Messiah. This is not the son of David. Why? No, this man is casting out devils by the power of the devil. All right, catch that now. All right, so verse 25, look at it. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now watch. And if Satan, see that's who they said he was. He's casting out devils by the power of the devil, Satan. And so Jesus said, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. All right? So Jesus understood how the devil's kingdom worked. And of course, these Pharisees, they did their best to spin it, you know, like people, like the media and like liberals do against Trump and against his cabinet and against truth and against conservatism. All right. I said in the back of the bulletin last week that if Donald Trump walked out in the front yard of the White House and said, and it was covered over with snow, and he said, that snow is white. The New York Slimes the very next day would have a big headline, Trump is an idiot. That snow is not white. Everybody knows that snow is not white. There's nobody any more blind than he who will not see. All right? And so Jesus said, guys, don't fall for this liberalism. Don't fall for this foolishness. How's the devil going to cast out the devil? If he does, he's working against himself. And so Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. He understood the kingdom and how it worked, the kingdom of the devil and how it worked. All right, now, look at your Bible, please. Ephesians 6. And again, look down at the end of the verse 12. And it says that the rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now you see the word places is in italics. And what that means is that the King James translators did not have a word. They did not have a word that transliterated. You know, when you go from one language to another, you sometimes have some blanks, and they had to fill in the blanks. All right, so you see that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now watch, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, look at your Bible, please. And if you have a Cambridge Bible, you have a little number 9 beside the word high. All right? And you go over into the center column, and the King James translators said, or instead of high places, heavenly places. All right, do you see that? Now, hold your hand right there and go back to the first chapter for just a moment. The first chapter of Ephesians. All right, and look at verse 3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." So here, now watch, I'm going to show you the parallel here. In chapter 6, you've got the devil's kingdom, right? Do you see that? All right, everybody nod your heads. I'm going to wake up. All right. In chapter 6, Paul is describing the devil's kingdom. And in 6, he says that the devil's kingdom does all of its work in heavenly places, high places. All right, now look at chapter 1, verse 3. Here is the Lord's kingdom. Here is how the Lord operates and works. And you will notice here in verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, what's that mean? What's he saying? Well, what he's saying here is that all of God's blessings are given to us through the heavenlies, through the unseen world. All right, you with me on that? Through the unseen. All right? Where's the devil do his work? Through the unseen. Now, I've told you many times through the years that if it were possible that I could take the scales off of your eyes so that we could see what is going on in the heavenlies concerning this spiritual warfare. You've got the God of heaven wanting to bless and fill us with his power and use us for his glory. And then you've got the devil who wants to get us to fight one another, who wants to get us focused on our flesh, who wants to get us away from the truth and keep us out of the Bible. And how does he do that? Same way in the heavenlies. It's a constant battle. And you and I fight that every day of our lives. So only God speaks for his kingdom. And then you have this satanic kingdom that, you remember now, God's omniscient, omnipotent, all right? He is immutable, unchanging, never changes, all right? Satan's not, right? Yeah, Satan's not. He can't be everywhere at one time. He is not omnipresent. He is not all-powerful. Oh, he's powerful, but he's not all-powerful. Only God is all-powerful. You see that? So there's no way in the world that the devil can outdo God. There's no way. So We need to be yielded to God, not to the wiles of the devil. And that there's where the conflict takes place, right there. So this is showing us in 1:3 and in 6:12 that God's kingdom operates in the heavenlies, and Satan's kingdom operates in the heavenlies. It's an unseen war. We cannot see the war that's going on. But I'll guarantee you this, if it were possible that we could have the scales removed so that we could see the struggle, the conflict, the battle, if we could see it with our physical eyes, you'd never miss prayer meeting again. You'd never miss Sunday services, morning and night. You just wouldn't. It scared the daylights out of you. And you would realize you need the Lord, because as we learned last week, you and I are not going to be able to whip the devil. We are no match for him. All right? So we need to understand that. So the devil is not omnipotent. But remember, when Satan fell from heaven, 1/3 of heaven's angels fell with him. All right? And they are the ones who are doing his bidding. They are the ones that come after us and come after, as we're going to see here in the rest of this verse, come after people, cities, governments. All right? The devil knows his business. And Satan was created. He's not a creator. He is created. And created does not have all the power. The creator does. All right? The created is always weaker than the creator. And Satan will never be stronger than God. And you keep reading in the Bible and you see that there's going to come a day when the devil is going to be cast into hell's lake, the lake of fire, for all eternity. All right? Everybody got that? All right. Now, that leads us now to another aspect of all this. All right, we're going to look at the middle part down of verse 12, and we're going to see some things here about the devil's kingdom. We're going to see, we'll show you God's organization, but I'm also going to have you look at Satan's organization. And all that is described for us here in these verses. Now, you remember that I have taught you through the years that everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit for it. All right? Everything. God, for example, has his church, and the devil, Satan, has his churches. All right? Satan has duplicated the things of God. For example, God has his Bible. Satan has his Bibles. You know, Satan's Bibles take out the deity of Christ. Satan's Bibles take out hundreds of verses that the devil doesn't like. Yeah. Yep. And God has his Bible. Devil has his Bibles. Hey, God has his preachers, and Satan has his preachers. God provided man with a wonderful salvation received by grace through faith. And right from the very beginning that we saw Sunday morning, way back in the Garden of Eden, the devil offers man a salvation that he accomplishes, that man accomplishes through good works and outward efforts. But we learn right in Genesis 3 at the very beginning, you can't earn your way to heaven. You cannot do it. Adam and Eve said, we got to get something to cover our nakedness. Well, how'd they know they were naked? Because they had sinned against God and became sinners. That's called guilt. And so they needed to cover themselves up. They were ashamed. And they covered themselves up. And I'm sure that Adam and Eve were both standing there, smiling from ear to ear, modeling to one another their fig leaves. But wait a minute, a fig leaf, that you sewed that together. Yeah, we sewed them together. Well, that's you doing something. That's you working to cover your sin. Not going to work. That never works with God. Never. So God offers a free, eternal salvation by faith, by grace, through faith. And so the devil comes along and he says, you don't need that. Just do this and everything will be fine. You remember the Bible tells us that God is three, yet one. He's Father, Son, Spirit, and these three are one. And that's how the devil is presented in the Bible. He is Satan, the head, the father, if you will, the father of evil. All right, he is the Antichrist, which is an imitation of the Son, Jesus. And then the third is the beast, the false prophet. So the devil presents himself as three, yet one. All right, so everything God has, the devil has a counterfeit or a duplicate of. Now, let me show you something else that that the devil imitates. All right, let's see. Go. Let me see where. Hold on just a second. Yeah. Go to the book of Colossians for just a moment. Chapter 1. All right, the book of Colossians. Just go over a couple of books toward the end of your Bible, just a couple of books. And look at chapter 1, and let's read verse 14. All right, you follow along. Look at this. In whom we have redemption, he's speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. What's the next two words? All things were created by him and for him. Look at verse 17. And he is before, what's the next two words? All things, right. And by him, what's the next two words? All things consist. So who's the creator? Jesus, yeah. Where did the universe come from? It was created by the hand of Christ. All right? Now, four times in these couple of verses, verse 16 and 17, four times the little word all things is mentioned. Paul tells us that all things were created by Christ. And he speaks of all things, both visible and invisible, and goes on to get specific about these invisible things that he created, like thrones and dominions or principalities or powers. And this wording is indicating that there is organization among the good angels of heaven, which God created. Do you see that? All right. God, the Lord, created all these things. And his angels oversee these things. All right. You remember all through several of these verses that I have showed you, like there's Daniel and he's praying. He doesn't get an answer, but he keeps praying. 21 days goes by. And then finally an angel comes with the answer. And Daniel's like, where have you been? I've been praying here for 21 days. And he said, well, when you first prayed, the day you prayed, the Lord had the answer. I was bringing it to you, but the devil withstood me. And so I had to fight. So there is an evil and there is good. What are they doing? Fighting. And that is a constant thing that goes on. You pray, and sometimes you get an immediate answer to your prayers. But then there are sometimes you pray and you don't get the answer right away. You say, well, God doesn't answer prayer. No, God does answer prayer. The issue is not God answering prayer. There's something going on just over your heads. You don't know what that is, but you better stick with it. You say, well, why? Because God's greater than the devil. That's why. All right? I mean, God has his kingdoms, his dominions, just like the devil does. All right? This wording is indicating that there are organizations among the good angels of heaven that God has created. They were created for him, or by him and for him. But what we see in Ephesians 6 in verse 12 is Satan has seemingly organized his troops into the same basic organization that God has. All right? Colossians 1, 15, 16, and 17, that's how God created it. All right? But then you go back to Ephesians 6, and we see the devil comes along, and what's he do? Imitates. And he establishes his own kingdom. And they are principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So, folks, everything that God has given us, every perfect gift and every other gift, Satan imitates it. And so we need to fight the right enemy. And the right enemy is not a man, it's not a woman, it's not a teenager, it's the devil. All right? So we'll stop right there. Does that make sense to you? All right, so what I want you to do now is read that passage in Colossians and then jump back to Ephesians and think about what you've learned tonight. The same thing God creates is what the devil creates. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray now you'll bless what's been said. Thank you for the Word of God. Oh, how powerful this book is. And Father, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, I just pray you'll give us understanding of this war that is a constant battle between God and the devil. So Father, bless, help us to stay on the Lord's side and to stay strong in the things of the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 371. 300.